Chapter 5. A Brave Project. In order to shorten the journey, the guide passed to the left of the line where the railway was still being built. The guide declared that they would cut 20 miles from their route by going directly through the forest. A few rest stops were made along the way, and at 8 in the evening, another stop was made so everyone could sleep. They had gone 25 miles that day, but an equal distance still separated them from the train station at Allahabad. The journey was continued at 6 in the morning, and the guide hoped to reach Allahabad by evening. Mr. Fogg would only lose part of the 48 hours saved since the beginning of the trip. At 2 o'clock p.m., the guide entered a thick part of the forest which extended for several miles. They had not yet had any unpleasant encounters, and the journey seemed like it would be successfully accomplished. Then the elephant suddenly stopped. The guide jumped off Kiauni and ran into the forest to see what was happening. He soon returned, saying, "A procession of Brahmins is coming this way. We must not let them see us, if possible." The guide led the elephant behind some tall bushes while asking the travelers to be very quiet. He hoped the procession would pass without noticing them hiding in the bushes, in which they were completely covered. The procession soon came into view. First were the priests, who were clothed in long robes. They were surrounded by men, women, and children. Some Brahmins, leading a woman, followed. The woman was young, and her neck, shoulders, ears, and arms were loaded down with heavy jewelry. She was followed by guards armed with swords. They carried the corpse of an old man, wrapped in a robe of tissue, fine silk, and gold. Finally, musicians appeared and closed the procession. Sir Francis watched the procession with a sad look on his face and then whispered, "A sati." The guide nodded. The procession slowly moved away, and soon the last of them disappeared into the depths of the woods. The noise gradually died out, and at last there was silence again. Phileas Fogg had heard what Sir Francis said, and when the procession had disappeared, he asked, "What is a sati?" "A sati," replied the general, "is a human sacrifice. The woman you just saw will be burned tomorrow at dawn." While Sir Francis was speaking, the guide shook his head several times. "The sacrifice is not a voluntary one."
"Where are they taking her?" asked Sir Francis.
"To the pagoda of Pillaji, about 2 miles from here."
The guide then led the elephant out of the bushes and jumped up on its neck. Just when he was about to urge Kiauni forward, Mr. Fogg stopped him. He turned to Sir Francis and said,
"Suppose we save the woman. I have 12 hours to spare. I can devote them to that."
"Why, you are a good man."
"Sometimes," replied Mr. Fogg quietly, "when I have the time."
The project was a brave one, full of difficulty and perhaps even impossible. Mr. Fogg was going to risk their lives and even the success of his tour, but he didn't hesitate to try. As for Passepartout, he was ready for anything. He was delighted by his master's idea, and under all that coldness, he now saw heart and soul. The guide also agreed to the project and gave the men some information about the victim. She was the daughter of a wealthy Bombay merchant. Her name was Aouda. Left alone by her parents, she was married against her will to an old Raja. She eventually escaped after the Raja's death, but was captured again, and the Raja's relatives decided to sacrifice her so that she could not escape a second time. They approached the pagoda as quickly as possible and stopped about 500 feet away from it in a group of small trees. They then discussed how they would get the victim. The guide was familiar with the pagoda of Pillaji, in which the young woman was being kept. As soon as night fell, at about 6 o'clock, they quietly crept through the woods toward the pagoda. The guide stopped them on the borders of a grassy open area which was lit up by torches. The ground was covered by groups of Indians. Men, women, and children lay together. In the distance, among the trees, the pagoda could be seen, but the Raja's guards were watching the doors.
There was nothing the men could do yet. At around midnight, the guide announced that he was ready to make an attempt. They took the long way around to get to the back of the pagoda. Here there were no guards, but also no windows or doors. They had to make an opening in the walls, but luckily the walls were built of brick and wood. They set to work with their pocket knives. Once one brick was removed, the rest would come out more easily. As they worked, a noise was suddenly heard from within the temple. The men had to hide themselves once again in the woods. While waiting to return to their work, the guards appeared at the back of the temple.
"We have nothing to do but to go away," whispered Sir Francis.
"The chance which now seems lost may present itself at the last moment," replied Mr. Fogg. Meanwhile, Passepartout was thinking of an idea that had struck him earlier.
"It's a chance," he thought, "and perhaps the only one we have."
The hours passed and the light of day was approaching. Although it was still quite dark, the sleeping masses soon awoke, and songs and cries started. The hour of sacrifice had come. The doors of the pagoda opened, and the men saw the woman being taken out by two guards. The crowd then began to move. Phileas Fogg and his companions followed at the back of the crowd. In a few minutes, they reached the banks of the stream and stopped away from the pyre upon which lay the Rajah's corpse. From where they were standing, Mr. Fogg and Sir Francis could see the woman stretched out beside her husband's body. The smoke from burning hemp had made her unconscious. A torch was brought over, and the pyre was lit on fire. Mr. Fogg was preparing to rush upon the pyre when suddenly everything changed. A cry of terror arose, and the crowd dropped to the ground, frightened. The old Rajah was not dead. He suddenly rose, took up his wife in his arms, and got down off the burning pyre. Men, women, and children, frozen with fear, lay with their faces on the ground, not daring to look up at the awakened Rajah. The now alive Rajah approached Sir Francis and Mr. Fogg, and, in a harsh tone, said,
"Let us be off!"
It was Passepartout himself, who had secretly climbed upon the pyre in the middle of the smoke and under the darkness of the early morning. Once he had saved the woman from death, he had easily passed through the crowd during their frightened state. Just as all four men had disappeared into the woods, and the elephant was carrying them away at a rapid pace, they heard sudden cries and noise. Their trick had been discovered. Priests and soldiers rushed into the forest, but the elephant moved too quickly. The men soon found themselves safe from the bullets and arrows coming after them. The project had been accomplished, and Passepartout laughed happily at his success. As for the young Indian woman, she had remained unconscious the whole time, and now was resting in one of the seats at the back of the elephant. The group reached the train station at Allahabad at about 10 o'clock. The railway line resumed here, which would enable them to reach Calcutta in less than 24 hours. Phileas Fogg would therefore be able to arrive in time to take the steamship leaving Calcutta on October 25th for Hong Kong. The train was about to leave Allahabad, so Mr. Fogg paid the guide for his services.
"You have been very helpful and devoted," Mr. Fogg said to the guide. "I have paid for your service, but not for your devotion. Would you like to have this elephant? He is yours."
The guide's eyes lit up with thanks. Soon after, Phileas Fogg, Sir Francis, Passepartout, and the Indian woman were moving at full speed toward Benares. During the journey, Aouda fully recovered her senses and was very surprised to find herself in a railway car with three strangers. Sir Francis told her what had happened, and Aouda, unable to find the words to thank the men, used her tears to show her appreciation. Phileas Fogg understood the danger that still awaited Aouda if she stayed in India, so he offered to escort her to Hong Kong. She gratefully accepted and said she had a relative who lived there that she might stay with. At 12:30, the train stopped at Benares. This was Sir Francis's destination, so he said goodbye to Mr. Fogg, wishing him success on his tour. He also said a warm goodbye to Passepartout and to their new traveling companion, Auda. The train soon left Benares, and Calcutta was reached at 7 in the morning. The steamship left for Hong Kong at noon, so Phileas Fogg had 5 hours to wait before the next part of his journey began. According to his journal, he was due at Calcutta on October 25th, and that was the exact date of his actual arrival. He was therefore neither behind in time nor ahead of time. The 2 days gained between London and Bombay had been lost saving the woman, but Phileas Fogg did not regret this.